it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Blue moon, you saw me standing alone.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rothman back in the chair, and it's getting interesting. 1 point separate the top three in the Premier League with just seven fixtures to go. City have scored 8 goals in the last 2 games, and that includes a hat-trick for Phil Foden and a 100th goal for Kevin De Bruyne. Then there's the small matter of Real Madrid on Tuesday in the first leg of the Champions League quarter-final. And on Saturday, we entertain Luton Town, who are fighting for their lives to stay up. What a good time to welcome back Lisa Rabinovitz. Hi, Lisa. Welcome back. Great to see you.
Hi, Nigel. Good to see you.
Welcome also to Stato Paul Denby. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Nigel. Always good to be here.
And amazing to have you. And also, almost as amazing to have David Blakeney. Hi, David. Welcome back to you.
Hi, Nigel. Good evening.
David, let's go back to midweek, can we, if you can cast your... We had a boring draw against a very defensive Arsenal, and then suddenly Villa come to town, and I was actually more worried about this fixture, I have to say. Villa, you know, just one place behind us in the league, a good side, difficult to break down, and we won 4-1 and a Foden hat-trick. It was all right, wasn't it? What was all the worry about?
Well, they had a few injuries, the squad's not as big... probably a good time to play them, and that's how it worked out. So, and I think, to be honest, after the criticism from even Pep admitted on the Saturday what was wrong, it looked like he'd actually gone out then and said, right, we need to play in the way I talked about that we hadn't been playing and getting more people into the final third. And to be fair, it looked like it was planned to be that way. So maybe some positives.
A Stato, no KDB, no Stones, no Edison. So City weren't full strength either by any means.
No, but we've got a good enough squad as opposed to Villa, who had lost a few players and therefore couldn't quite match us. But I thought the performance was superb. Foden in that midfield role was absolutely brilliant, unplayable, any other adjective you wish to use to describe his performance. And we thoroughly deserved the win. I thought 4-1 was probably a fair reflection on the difference between the two teams. So it made up for that disastrous 1-0 performance at Villa Park earlier in the season.
Sure. Any other adjectives you want to add there, Lisa, and your overall reflections on the 4-1 victory midweek?
I actually felt that Foden wasn't that amazing until he scored his first goal. But obviously you can't really criticise him after that. It felt like there was a slightly laboured start, but I can't really complain about the overall result. I think I'm sure we'll go on to discuss that there were still some concerns in terms of the way Villa scored, and you know, when they did get an opportunity to go forward, I was not exactly comfortable. I think that was probably something that repeated itself at the weekend, and obviously we have slightly better opposition coming up. Yeah, obviously, it's at this point in time, right, it's a result that matters. Would I like to see us maybe managing to keep a clean sheet or two? Yes. But it's not so much of a criticism because we got the result we needed, but I think looking forward to what's coming, there are some concerns.
Let's stick with the positive, Stato, if we can. And, you know, I'm kind of running out of adjectives and superlatives for Phil Foden, but there's no doubt that playing in that number 10 position, kind of in the middle, suits him best. He always seems to perform better when he's there rather than when he's pushed wide on the wing. And I agree absolutely with Lisa. I was talking to Stuart, who sits next to me, and I said, he looked leggy. First half, he looked tired. Looking back on it now, well, he scored that first goal and then the rest is history. He didn't have a great start to the game. He did look tired. But that having been said, in that central position, with KDB not playing, that he owned that space and he was just magnificent, wasn't he?
He was, and that is a dilemma now for Pep, isn't it? Because does he play Foden and De Bruyne in a similar role, not stretching the attack on either side, which is one thing that he could do? But it's a real challenge now, because can De Bruyne play every 3 or 4 days, which we've got matches? Can Foden play every 3 or 4 days? Can he come back against Arsenal after the England performances where we played both games, and he looked leggy then as well? So I'm a bit concerned about, well, I shouldn't be concerned. They can both play that role, as De Bruyne proved at the weekend. Can they both play in the same team as successfully? I'm not sure at the moment. The way Foden, when he's out wide, he just doesn't deliver as much as when he plays in the midfield, central midfield role. So it's a nice dilemma to have, and I'm glad I'm not Pep.
But Lisa, in that role, he was unstoppable, as you rightly pointed out, that despite a disappointing start or a tired start, whatever you want to call it, you can't criticise the lad's performance over the full 90 minutes and took his goals brilliantly.
No, absolutely not. And actually, I was talking about this with my dad about how, thinking back to that Villa match when we won the league and it was Gundogan who kind of pulled us over the line there. And, you know, I think we've discussed before how Gundogan is a huge loss. And I guess at the beginning of this Villa match, I was thinking, oh, it's going to be another one of those painful experiences. But and I think a lot of us are thinking the loss of Gundogan at this kind of point in the season where we are going to have more matches like that is difficult. You miss that kind of a player, but you've got to say that Foden really stepped up in that way as well, not just the quality of his play, but kind of taking on that responsibility, I think, because, you know, I think there is a psychological impact of losing a player like Gundogan who you kind of know will just, someone's just going to do it. And he's done it a couple of times for us. So I feel like there's, it, from a psychological perspective, it's good to see other players who are taking that on.
David, your thoughts on Foden before we move on to other things?
Well, just quickly on the leggy bit, Pep came out with a very interesting comment today. He said, for instance, Foden was a bit leggy, maybe, but when the team is not playing great, they look a bit leggy, and when they are playing well, they don't look so leggy. So he mentioned about Rodri, by the way, and said exactly that in the second half, he didn't look very leggy, and he was in the first half. And maybe that same with Foden. In the first half, he looked leggy, not in the second half. So maybe it's the way we play. But where we play Foden, you know, we all talk about, we had David Silva and we had De Bruyne in the same team. And maybe you can argue, maybe is it that different? Some of those positions, I don't know. But the big thing is to me is I thought it's pretty obvious for the last 2 years that Foden should play in the middle. When you hear the England manager, all he says is he doesn't play there for City and he's better at the wide position. He's not someone who plays in the middle. And if that's our England manager, yeah, and his view on Foden, it worries me, because there's no doubt Foden and Bellingham, I think, will be great together. And I think he can work well with definitely KDB and Foden. I think they can play well together still in that middle.
All right, let's tackle it straight on then. I know we're jumping about a bit. I said we'd start the weekend. We start midweek and we're not going to do it on the weekend yet. But let's talk about Real Madrid then. The Bernabeu then, Lisa. You know, easy place to go. Good job we're going there first leg, of course. I think we're all relieved on that one. Does he play Phil Foden and Kevin De Bruyne both in that central position? Is this a great opportunity to do that, dominate that, attack, and really that would be the perfect scenario, wouldn't it?
Yes, but I think he's got a bit of a dilemma. I because obviously we've got some defensive issues at the moment and we're really going to miss Walker. So I suppose the one option is to go with that approach and just try and dominate. But I mean, try and dominate. It's not like we're playing the local pub team. But I think you've got to go with that confidence. We should have the confidence. We're the current holders of the competition. I, you know, the other option is to not do that and play Kovacic and Rodri. But that's, I think that's much more risky. I just don't think we're ourselves when we play like that. I watch us lose 5-0 now. I've said that, but I would probably prefer us to try and just go for it. But I'd rather that it finished 6-5 than 4-0 because we tried to hold them off and couldn't, and then we couldn't do anything creatively either. So I don't know. It's not easy. I think the defensive problem is much bigger in a situation like this. So it's not an easy decision for him.
It's not. You're absolutely right. So, David, you've got this dilemma. You don't want to be Pep. None of us want to be Pep. But you've got that choice. Do we kind of go more defensive with Kovacic supporting Rodri, or is it Foden and De Bruyne? Which would you prefer?
I think Kovacic. I think De Bruyne should play, and I'm not sure whether him and Foden should play together in this particular one. I think we've got to be pretty tight, keep that midfield together. And I think De Bruyne will be the better of the two for this particular game, without a doubt. You know, last year...
Why did you say that?
Because I just think he... You know, look at some of the games he's played against Real Madrid in the past. You know, was it last season he scored that exact goal that he scored against Palace, with that sort of bullet, straight ahead type of goal? I just think he rises to it. In the Madrid game, you've got to make a call one way or the other. That's my belief in that one. I think he will definitely rise to it as long as he's not tired. The big question is, he's rested Foden and he didn't rest De Bruyne. And it's a tiredness that might be the problem. That maybe he might decide to play Foden, not De Bruyne, and bring De Bruyne on. That could be what his plan is.
Stato will have the answer, I know, because he'll have worked through all the stats. He'll have told us exactly what Pep's going to do and all the reasons why. Off you go, Stats.
OK, the rebellious answer. Don't play Haaland. Play a false number nine. Alternate between De Bruyne and Foden. Play Grealish with Bernardo and play Kovacic with Rodri. I think we need the defensive set as well because we are looking vulnerable. We look vulnerable against Palace a couple of times. We look vulnerable against Villa a couple of times. Real Madrid, let's be honest, are a class above both of those teams. They're going to put us under pressure from time to time. We're not going to have it all our own way. Therefore, Haaland in these matches, and I'm being blunt here, I don't think he adds a lot. Unless he's getting goal-scoring opportunities, and he's very good at most of the time when he gets these opportunities at scoring. But for this one game, maybe, just maybe, you don't play him.
So just to be clear, so you do play KDB and Foden, who kind of almost operate sort of as a false nine and a 10, and you have Kovacic supporting Rodri as well as what you're going with?
Yes.
I don't disagree with you. I think that's what I would prefer as well. And OK, just sticking with you for a second then, Stato, there are those on Twitter who are saying, you know, how many of you then would go for a draw then? And here you were criticising Arsenal only a couple of weeks ago for coming to the Etihad for a draw. So are we going to sort of turn into Arsenal fans and say, actually, we'll take a draw now?
Yes, but it's not the same, though, is it? The Arsenal game was
City.
Well, yeah, but the Arsenal game was a league game. This is a cup match. If you take a draw in Madrid back to the Etihad, you feel much more comfortable that you've got a chance of beating them just by the odd goal. That's all that would be needed. Whereas Arsenal came for a draw, got the draw. But they still got 8-9 games after that game to go, and anything could happen. So yeah, it's a bit different. Cup match versus league game.
Lisa, is that right?
Yeah, completely. It's not the same thing at all. I mean, it's a cup match and it's the two-legged cup match. So it's a completely different scenario. And we're away in the first leg and depleted. I don't know whether Walker will be available the following week or not. But, I think obviously you want to win. But if not, then you you'd prefer a draw over a loss. And actually, you know, they're not playing Haaland idea is something I think is a good idea. I would definitely play Grealish. And I know he gets a lot of criticism, which I think is pretty unfair most of the time. He works damn hard, and we are going to need players to work damn hard.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking at the game then, David, in terms of kind of lineup, just a final word from you in terms of the lineup. Anything else to add? And then kind of what you would accept from a trip to Madrid?
Definitely a draw. I'm happy with a draw. I think just back to Grealish, I think he's perfect for that game. Yeah, we don't want Doku for this sort of game. He's too inexperienced, makes too many mistakes. Grealish, he has had criticism, but fair criticism. But also, he played very well the last two games. He's back to form, so I'm very happy to have him back in the side. He got the kick at the backside he needed, and suddenly he's woken up. And he was really good last two games, so that's good news. The big player we're going to miss also is... ironically, is Mahrez. I think Mahrez is the one player in these big games was brilliant last year. So that's a bit of a shame. But obviously, we've got to move on. I think I totally agree about the Haaland one for this. I can't see him leaving him out. But if we don't give him the ball and we don't feed him, then what's the point? And I think in a game like this, it would be a very brave thing to do. I mean, he didn't score in either game last year, did he, against them? And I just don't think... I think at home he'd be definitely play, but away I think he is a luxury. So I sort of agree with that. How are we going to be tight at the back will be very interesting. Who's he going to play where? I assume he's going to put Kanji because of speed on the right. Yeah. Will he play Lewis at left back or will he put Guardiola? Is he fit? I don't know.
I think he missed training again today, didn't he?
I think one of the problems we've got is that Pep's doing his press conference now as we're recording. So I guess once this goes out, people will know some of the answers to these. But at the moment, I don't think we're sure. That's the problem.
I mean, for me, Ake would be really good at left back, and obviously Diaz and Stones in the middle. So, but would he play Stones at right back? And put Kanji in the middle. Or a Kanji on the left.
I wouldn't play Stones at right back. I think he'd struggle for pace.
He would, but that he has done that before, hasn't he?
Is he really trying to kill us all off?
Well, he was putting Stones at right back and putting and drop Walker at one point and told Walker he needs to get his act together, so he wouldn't put it past him, would he?
Stato, we talked about the kind of the defensive frailties, and I'm coming to you first because you and I both will remember what Joe Mercer once said, or it might be Malcolm Allison who says, I don't really care if they score three as long as we score four. And that was kind of the attitude in those days, and that was the sort of football we played back then. And it sometimes feel a bit like that with Pep at the moment. But defensively, we're not brilliant, are we? Yes, we've had Walker out, of course, and some other injuries as well across the back four. And maybe we've talked about the other fullback, the left back situation, not necessarily having stability that we enjoyed many, many years ago. It's been a while since we've had that sort of stability. Your thoughts then about those defensive frailties generally, and maybe where that's coming from, what's missing, what maybe we should be trying to work on?
It is worrying because it's happened so many games where we've conceded silly goals against, let's go back to the Palace game on Saturday as well. Every time they had a chance, I think it was because we made a mistake. Might not be every single one, but quite a few times. The first goal was Stones was in error. The second goal, we lost the ball again in midfield. They had a couple of other breakaways. We're creating our own problems. And the defence is pushing up so high a lot of the time. At Pep's request, even when Walker's playing, he gets caught out because he's pushing up so high that a fast break can kill us. And we know what Real Madrid are like, particularly at home. They've got a very fast forward line. You'd like to think that Pep might say to them, don't push up as high for this particular game. Kovacic, if he plays with Rodri, has also got to make sure that they release the ball a bit quicker. And I think Kovacic occasionally gets caught with the ball. And the same for the whole back line. It's just moving that bit faster and making sure that they don't make mistakes. It really is. It's simple for me to say. Obviously, when you're up against top-class players like Madrid have got, they'll be under immense pressure in the Bernabeu with a crowd baying for that goal. And it's tough. But these are professional footballers. We've won this competition last season. We beat Madrid last season on aggregate 5-1. So we can do it. I've got my initial thoughts are Madrid are a bit better this season, and we're a tad not quite as good as last season. So I think it's closed the gap.
David, we do look vulnerable on the break, don't we? I think, you know, I sit there in my seat in the Colin Bell stand, and you know, I every time, whoever the opposition is they go for, I always feel we look vulnerable on the break.
Yeah, that's been the whole season. I'm not only being vulnerable, but for some reason, every team we seem to play seem to always score the one chance they get or the two chances they get. They seem to score. Like, it seems to be that easy for them when they break through. So it's tough. I don't know why. You know, if you look at all the games we've drawn where we've been vulnerable, the four games that we've thrown away in the 90-plus minute, and we've given stupid penalties away, and I'm just thinking, where's that discipline gone? Diaz made some really silly mistakes, and he looks a bit slow at the moment, and he was a rock a couple of years ago. So I don't know, is it the way we play, or is it just the players not playing as good as they were? That's the bit I'm not quite sure about, yeah? Have we got different defensive coaches? There's something not right, but we do look like very open.
And Lisa's got the answer to all of those for you, David, so that's why she's on this week. So I'm delighted she's here.
Oh, yeah, the font of all knowledge. No, I mean, I think it's a combination of the way we play, because we're often vulnerable to that, even when we've got the full complement of who we would want in defence. And that's why it's not just right now that we frequently say, oh, the team scores the only chance they've got. And I have always been a firm believer that that's just a consequence of the way we play. It's going to happen. And often the goalkeeper gets criticised. They have one shot to save and they don't. It's just, I think it's all part and parcel of it. But at the moment, I think it's heightened because we don't have the players we would want. And you mentioned Ake before, but neither him nor Walker have travelled. So, I mean, I think both of them are huge misses in this from an experience perspective as much as anything else. I don't think he really doesn't have much choice in what he was going to put in defence. It's just where he's going to put them. That's the, you know, he's got five to choose from, and I don't know where he's going to play them.
And we'll find out sooner or later. Let's look back at the Palace game briefly, if we can. Obviously, we'll watch the Real Madrid game with great interest. Yeah, KDB. Let's just talk about KDB just for a second. Was rested, came back. And of course, the other exciting thing is 100 goals. The first midfielder, David, since the great Colin Bell.
How is it really?
52 years ago, I think Colin Bell scored his 100th goal. And we've got a lad who doesn't look dissimilar to him when he's in full stride, plays in a similar way. The similarities are frightening. But what a servant, what a player, what a performance, what goals. What can we add about Kevin De Bruyne? We've done it a few times on this show over the years. Let's do it again, because he was absolutely sensational.
He is sensational. I mean, he still does it. He is one of the best footballers I've ever watched. without a doubt. He's definitely Nijinsky of today. He didn't quite probably have quite the speed, but he's got that drive about him that even without the same maybe speed, he just drives forward. And he just knows when to turn it. You know, when we talk about wanting Haaland to turn it on in the big games, and he doesn't, De Bruyne does the opposite. He just, when he's on form like that, he's just sensational. And basically every single pundit is like wax lyrical about him, and he's still magnificent to watch. And you can't take your eyes off him. And he does the stuff, you know. And it's funny, actually, but obviously the goal he scored was matched by someone else the next day. He must have been watching him. But that's what we needed. And he's amazing. You can't say any more. I personally think he's the best player ever at City. And as far as I'm concerned, he will be the best player ever, because I don't think he'll ever match that.
We'll have that debate another day. But in terms of a few weeks ago, we were talking about the need for somebody to step up. Yeah. And that's what he seemed to do, Stato, I think, didn't he, on the day. He absolutely was the one person who kind of took the game by the scruff of the neck, whatever you want to call it, you know, stand up and make a difference. And he did that, never mind the two stunning goals and the all-round performance. But he took the game by the scruff of the neck.
He did. And let's be honest, he is a brilliant player. Whether he's the best ever in City's history is a debatable point. But he is a fantastic footballer. I think they were talking about him on, I think it was on Match of the Day, when they were saying, quite a few players were saying, ex-players were saying, he's better than Lampard, Gerrard, Scholes. And they were three of the best midfield players that have graced the Premier League. And De Bruyne is certainly up there as one of the top two or three players that have ever graced the Premier League, if not the best. And he can't say more than that. And I'm not going to compare him to Colin Bell, because Colin Bell never played in the Premier League. So we can leave that debate for another day. But he's superb. If he's over his injuries and can make sure that he can play most of the games from now till the end of the season, I feel that we've got a decent chance of winning at least one, if not more, trophies.
Lisa, I'm sure your dad must mention Colin Belcher all the time, doesn't he, when you sit there with him watching Kevin De Bruyne? I know you're far too young to even remember. I bet your dad talks about him all the time, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. I mean, yeah, so I definitely cannot compare Kevin De Bruyne to Colin Bell, because I never saw Colin Bell play. So for me, it's probably a bit of an easier choice. The thing is, even when he's not, because he's not always amazing, he's not like always for the entire match wonderful, but you don't want Pep to take him off, because you just know that he's got that ability to just switch it on and to step up. And if the weekend was anything to go by, hopefully he will carry that forward for the rest of the season. Not many matches to go. He can keep it going. I'd like to think, I'm going to regret saying this, aren't I? I'd like to think he won't need to play him against Luton. So, you know, he probably does need a bit of a rest every now and again. He is one of our older players. I try not to think too much about that. He's just unbelievable to watch. Some of the things he does, I just can't even understand them. I feel like his footballing brain is working in a very different way to anyone else's sometimes.
Yeah. Let's look forward to the weekend then. Stato, kick off on this one for us. I said at the start that Luton Town are fighting for their lives and have actually picked up a number of very interesting points and were kind of dead and buried not that long ago. And suddenly now they are on the brink of getting out of the relegation zone. So they're going to be no pushover, are they? They're not going to be, I'm sure they will be very defensively minded, but they're going to be a tough nut to crack, aren't they?
They will, and they'll probably be even more up for it, because Everton have been docked another 2 points today. So that means Everton have moved closer to the relegation zone. But we should have enough to beat Luton. Let's be honest about it. If we have any pretensions, and it's more than pretensions, of winning the Premier League, we've got to be easily beating a team like Luton at the Etihad. And I think this is a good opportunity. I know what Lisa said. Will he rest Kevin the weekend? I think he'll rest a couple of other players. Bob had an absolutely brilliant first half against Palace the other day. He faded a little bit in the second half. Lewis was absolutely superb as well. I think he can bring those two players in without losing anything, really. And it depends whether he plays Haaland on Tuesday against Madrid or whether he plays him at the weekend or saves him for the big match in the second leg at the Etihad. But you've got Alvarez. We've got enough to beat them, but even if we do rest two or three players. And that's maybe the sort of game where you can afford to play Doku and give Grealish a rest as well. It's the defence where you've not got enough opportunity to rest players because we've got so many injuries there. We've got Walker out, Ake out, Guardiola out, potentially. I don't know how long he'll be out for. Stones is only just coming back from injury. So, yeah, the concern more is how do you keep the defence going when you can't rest as many players as you like. I know we've got Lewis there. So, yeah, Luton, we've got to beat them. It's as simple as that. There's no debate.
I think it's twice I've agreed with Stato this week, Lisa, that I think Bob and who else were you saying? Lewis. I mean, those two youngsters have come through this season and look like stars in the making, and I've been impressed with both of them, particularly Bob. I think Bob could be a very special talent.
Yeah, Bob does look like a very exciting prospect, and you would like to... Yeah, I would definitely like to see him play against Luton. Lewis, I think Lewis might play on Tuesday, to be honest, but, I mean, hopefully he's able to play three matches in the space of 8 days. I don't know, but I'd like him to rest Stones against Luton. I mean, this particular point in the season is always hard in terms of giving players rest and getting them ready for these. All the matches are big, essentially. But yes, the defence is a problem because there's less opportunity for it. I think what's for me, that's why against Luton, it's important. Well, obviously, they're not going to disrespect them. They are going to be up for it. They are fighting for their lives. But we need to go at them from the beginning, take our chances and try and put it to bed as quickly as possible. That's my opinion of that, these kind of matches now. And then, if he doesn't want to rest people from the start, he can at least bring some people off.
David, I've got kind of two final questions. And before I ask you all these two questions, which are kind of linked anyway, your thoughts ahead of the Luton game, David?
Well, we should win it. If we don't, then we don't deserve to win the league. I think who we rest will all depend on Tuesday and tomorrow night's game and the outcome of that. That will make a difference. You know, you sort of want to see Haaland have another go with De Bruyne in the Luton game because they were just magnificent. And I suppose it all depends how Luton want to come at us. They have been a very attacking side, haven't they? And actually not wanted to sit back. So it'll be interesting to see whether they change tack now, thinking every point is important, and whether they can play that way. They've had a couple of blips, actually, recently, and then they sort of played reasonably well, I think, against Spurs. So it's going to be an interesting one, that. And, you know, you've got to win those games. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about the Luton game because if we can rest a few players, that will be a big bonus for the following week.
All right, well, let's look forward then. So I'm going to combine these final two questions together, Lisa, and you're going to go first. Is goal difference going to play its part? And it's a bit different this year. We know that City, of course, are kind of third in pecking order of the top three in terms of goal difference. And are City still favourites?
I'm not sure I can answer both those questions and not completely contradict myself. I mean, I think we're favourites. Everyone seems to be making us favourites. I don't know whether I necessarily agree with it. But I think they're making us favourites because of our experience in these positions. And we've proven ourselves, yes, with some slightly different personnel. I think it could come down to goal difference. I really do. And the main reason is because it's so tight with three teams in it now. I'm not saying I wouldn't say that if it was just two. It just feels like, and unfortunately, my favourite team, Spurs, are going to have quite a significant say in the destination of this league. Plus, they are obviously going for a Champions League place themselves. So it's going very interesting. I think for once, we are not even in the driving seat on the goal difference point. And that's the disappointing thing about conceding some of these goals in the last couple of matches. That could have made quite a big difference already. So I guess we just have to get scoring 7 or 8 instead of 4. You know, it's not, 4's just not good enough.
particularly when he let two in the other end as well. David, yeah. So two questions to you then. City still favourites, and is goal difference going to play its part?
I think goal difference will play its part, and I don't think we are favourites. I think Arsenal are favourites. I think Arsenal have looked the strongest at the moment. They've got no injuries. They've got a very good back four with the two central ones playing brilliantly. They've got Rice in that team. He's made a difference. So they're playing the best football at the moment, and they just don't look like giving anything away, do they? And I think they're the favourites.
Stato, David makes a strong argument.
Yeah, the bookmakers put City as favourites. I think there's two reasons they put City as favourites. One, because we've done it before. And secondly, our run of fixtures from now to the end of the season is marginally easier than the other two. I did my Stato bit on this. The average position of the teams that Liverpool have to play is 10th. The average position of the teams Arsenal have to play is 9th. And the average position we have to play is almost 12th. So we have got an advantage there. Arsenal got to play three of the top six, including two away from home. So, yes, I agree totally with David. Arsenal are playing the best football at the moment, but they've also got the toughest run of fixtures, so maybe they cancel each other out. Will goal difference come into it? I really hope not, because I don't think we're going to close the gap on Arsenal's goal difference. We could close it on Liverpool's, but I can't see us closing. I think we're about 10 or 11 behind Arsenal, and I can't see us catching that up. So if we tied with points at Arsenal, with Arsenal at the end of the season, I don't think it's our title. But we'll see.
We'll see. And now you know why I came to Stato last. Thank you to my three guests, to Lisa Rabinowitz, to David Blakeney, and to Stato Paul Denby. This is Nigel Rothman saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.